Anybody recognize the gospel reading from today? That was the one that we read when?
Last week.
Right, at Thanksgiving liturgy. Okay? It's the same one that we read for Thanksgiving. It's a story about gratitude and thankfulness, or rather the lack of it, on the part of the other nine. You know, gratitude or thankfulness is the virtue. Entitlement is the vice. In other words, I have a right to it, I'm deserving of it, I should have it. Entitlement comes from pride. I'm worthy of it. You know, I would times be going on vacation and friends of mine would say, oh, you deserve it, you work hard. And I would say to them, listen, there's a lot of people who work a lot harder than I do and they get paid a lot less. We can get so confused with thinking because we work hard or something that we have an entitlement. If we think that we're better than the other, you know, that's what starts to make us think that makes us rather ungrateful. If we don't respect the other, we won't be thankful. I'm thankful they stopped passing out sodas and stuff on the airplane anymore. I used to cringe every time I would hear the flight attendant say, you know, what would you like to drink? And I'd hear, give me a Coke. And I would feel, to me that's like fingernails on the blackboard. And I'd want to say, oh, come on, your mother taught you better than that. It's an ingratitude. You know, two of the most important things I always say that I taught Anne Marie, my daughter, was to say thank you to the waiter for a glass of water and to shut the lights in the hotel room. Respect for others, respect for the property of others. And don't think that things are coming to you. But can we really teach thankfulness? We teach our children, say thank you know, when somebody gives us, but can we teach that? Jesus, when he was asked by the apostles to teach them to pray, did not include thankfulness in the Lord's Prayer. Nowhere in there does it say, and thank you, Lord, for all that I have. But likewise, nowhere in it there does it say, Lord, I love you. I think that being thankful, just like love, is very difficult to teach. Either you have a loving heart or you don't. Either you have a thankful heart or you don't. Jesus is recorded as praying and thanksgiving several times in the gospel. He knew what it was to be thankful. In Matthew 16, so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. Again in Matthew, in the 26th chapter, and then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. In John's gospel, and Jesus lifted, this is in the 11th chapter, and Jesus lifted up his hands and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And then what did he do? Lazarus, come forth. That was the raising of Lazarus. The Lord gave thanks numerous times. And he showed us that we should be thankful. He demonstrates his thankfulness by being obedient to his Father. Humility is what will allow us to be obedient. And humility is a necessary predicate to being a person who was thankful. Let's look at Paul writing to the Philippians. But he made himself, speaking of Jesus, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and came obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. When you're humble, you can be obedient. When you're humble, you will recognize the things that you give, receive the gifts, and you can then be thankful. The Theotokos and Joseph practiced gratitude when they presented Jesus in the temple and offered up 2 doves. Here we go. There's the presentation of the Lord in the temple, and you see Joseph, the betrothed, right? On the far left, and what is he holding? 2 turtle doves.
that was the prescribed thank you offering, if you would, for the birth of the firstborn.
We do that when we come. Why do we light candles? Somebody asked me that. It's a sign of our thanksgiving and a sign of our sacrifice, our little sacrifice, right? But a sign of the sacrifice. That's why we don't just have them out there. So we don't sell the candles to make money, though the church does. They're there so that we've made our offering, and now we bring it to the Lord. You see, it's symbolic of that. Otherwise, we would just pass out candles, and everybody could come and stick them in, and they would have absolutely no meaning, right? So that's why we make our little offering, and then we come and we put it before the Lord, showing our thanksgiving. That's an important aspect for us. Paul often admonishes to be thankful. And how do we, let me find that, because I just lost my little ribbon. I got so many here for you today. Hang on one second. If not, we've got many others. Here we go. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he writes this. He says, speaking to one another, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for all things. That means the good and the bad. Often the bad is the greatest good for us. You've all heard my story of my journey, right? And you know, being held hostage in the jail was a bad, and it turned out to be a good, because it got my attention, having been a wanderer for 10 years. You see? Many times in the hospital, we cry out to God. A few people cry out from the beach. But when we're sick, when there's adversity, you know, I was reading an article recently, right after 9/11, the churches were packed, and it lasted for a few weeks. Yeah. So I'm wondering, now that the hard economic times are here, will we see our churches packed again? If that's what it takes, so be it. From the evil will come the good, and we need to be thankful. Okay? Let's look at another passage. This time, Paul writing to the Galatians in the first chapter. He says, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We're inheritors of the saints. That's our greatest thankfulness, is the faith that God has given us. The ones who realize it, I think, the most are the catechumens, right? We get to the point where we can't wait for January, I hope, okay? Because we realize the great value and how unworthy we are. We have to be thankful to the Lord for it. So how then do we make in ourselves a thankful heart? We said it's hard to teach it, but it can be learned, it can be practiced. And the first thing is to be humble, as we had said, recognizing that all is from good, or from God. All is from God. Here, let's look at James. This is James writing in the first chapter. And he writes this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything comes down from the Father. Does that sound familiar? You recognize that passage? Prayers behind the ambon. At the end of, you'll see when I come out, say, let us depart in peace. Listen to that prayer. For all good things come down from thee, the Father of lights. All things come down, good things come down from the Father of lights. That's the first thing we have to recognize. And if we do, we'll be humble. The second is we have to be good stewards of what we do have. Whether it's our money, whether it's our health, whether it's our time, we have to be good stewards. You know, when a stewardship doesn't just mean the finances. Stewardship of our time. I tell those who are young, you know, you're rich. You're rich in time and in youth. Use it well. The vigor, right? The enthusiasm of youth is a great gift from God to be used well. That's part of stewardship. Our finances, they're not ours, they're gifts from God. We're to be good stewards and to use them well. Much of the hard economic times have been brought on because we were not good stewards. Speculation all over the place. I was reading Harvard University. Now you would imagine that they ought to have some intelligence in that place. In there, what do they call those things? We have all the money from the rich alumni. In their endowment, they lost $8 billion because of bad investments. That's with a B, billions. Huh? They weren't good stewards. And so we're called to be good stewards. And then sharing what we have with our brothers. Sharing what we have. This is in the letter of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Do not forget to do good and to share. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do not forget to share. You're doing well with the food. Jim, we got it filled up again. Okay? That's sharing. Lots of sharing of our money, of our time, of our talent. And sharing with God. If we look at Proverbs, this is what's written in the third proverb. Honor the Lord from your righteous labors and offer him the first fruits from the fruits of your righteousness. We are to give back to the Lord. And finally, it's to pray with a thankful heart. If we look at Paul now writing to the Colossians, he writes this in the 4th chapter. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. He says, whenever we could pray, we have to be vigilant in prayer. Pray often, he means, but pray in thanksgiving. Because if you're not thankful, if you don't have the humble heart that's the predicate, if you're not obedient, that is the predicate to being thankful, you won't care. And you'll think it's all your entitlement. And your prayers really will be. If we stop to think, what did the publican, in the story of the publican, right, the Pharisee and the publican, remember that, went up to the temple to pray? What did the Pharisee say? Thank you, O Lord, that I'm not like him. And then he proceeded to brag how he fasted and he taught. And you see that? Where was the humble heart? So let us practice then thanksgiving in a humble heart and go forward towards nativity. I'll leave you with this last thought I had and how all this fit together. I recently read a letter to the editor, and he was bewailing all the things of the commercialism of this season and how he's not going to be part of the celebration anymore. He's just going to stay home because it's all too commercialized. And I said, how ungrateful are you? The Lord came into the world and became man to save you from your sins. What care you for what the world does? Your relationships with God. Be thankful to him for what he's done. And rejoice at his birth and becoming man. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.